What's up, everybody? We are back today on Black Hollywood Live's The Trend, talking about the Face App Challenge and a lot more. Let's do this.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Oh, you can't? I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Live's The Trend. I am Daryl Kristen. I am back. I feel like I ain't been here in a while.
You know what? Maybe it wasn't, because the last show or two, you weren't here.
I was not here.
Oh, yeah. My God.
It's been a couple weeks.
Because you've been all over the place.
I've been all over the place.
Welcome back, bro.
Thank you, thank you. I got the yellow twins with me today.
I know.
Courtney Stewart.
I'm technically neon green, but I'll take yellow.
All right, well, it looks yellow.
Oh, yours is like canary.
It's like canary. And our very special guest today, who is joining us as one of our co-hosts as well, is actor Keith Robinson in the house.
What's the dilly?
And we're playing his music right now. It's a new song called Happy.
That's right.
And it makes me happy to hear it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So we're gonna let it play out for like 10 seconds. Let's just vibe to it.
I'm gonna show my people you vibing to it.
I don't know the lyrics, but I'm gonna act like I do.
Happy.
I hear you with that low. Yeah. I can't do that. I can't hit that note.
Happy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We happy up in here. What's
happy,
up, y'all?
Happy.
Glad to be back. We got a lot of topics today. We're going to start off with the Face App Challenge.
Yes.
Actually. And we're going to talk about Keith's song a little bit more and his show, Saints and Sinners. He got a lot going on. A lot going on. Jesse's not here today. He'll be back next week, hopefully. But
where you at, Jesse?
Where you at, Jesse? Where you at, yo? Where you at?
Working,
bro? Where you at?
Working,
he's working.
Okay.
Getting that bag.
Getting them bags. Collecting bags. Getting them coins. All right, the Face App Challenge. All right,
Face
so
challenge.
I got so much to say about this because everybody's doing it. You know,
I did not.
I didn't either.
Okay, us three did not do it.
We're the last three.
We're the last three. Technically, we did not do it. There are a lot of people on social media who are doing it, and I actually have a picture that a friend of mine did because I chose not to do it. We will probably pull it up because I'm still very disturbed by this picture because I look like my dad's oldest brother.
We need y'all to get in the comments when y'all look at this picture.
Please get in the comments. That is me in my, like, I don't know, 70s, 80s, somewhere up in there.
Daryl, 80, that's not so bad, guys. Let us know what y'all think. We gotta hear it in the comments.
That's dark liquor if you drink a lot of dark liquor.
You know, that's dark liquor.
Smoking them, and that's some
smoky Marlboros. Like, I've been smoking some cigars and Marlboros. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't moisturizing a lot either.
You look much better.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, listen, I am a Leo, and I'm vain, and I like my products. All right.
Oh, yeah.
So to me, I stopped using products for like 20 years.
You stopped. When you retired at 65, you stopped with the products.
I mean, I gave up. I just said, "F it." Like, I'm tired. I don't need them together no more.
You look strong, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know.
I don't know.
It's just a skin.
I don't know. I know. Okay, so everybody's been doing this. You know, they've been doing this challenge. If you've been on social medias, you know, it's all over. Everybody's doing it. They think it's funny. It's celebrities doing it. You know, listen, you can't even go anywhere without seeing these Face App challenges. I am extremely
that's funny.
I mean, Morgan Freeman. We got Morgan Freeman back. I mean, he's looked
Morgan
the same for like 40
Morgan
years, right?
And,
right? You can't ever tell with Morgan. I'm very disturbed by this app. I don't know. You know, I know Courtney and I had a conversation a little bit before the show about this, and she doesn't understand why I'm disturbed. I don't like looking at myself at that age. I don't know. It just freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah.
It freaks me out to see how accurate I really feel like it is, because when I was looking at all the different pictures of people, I was like, damn. I mean, some people, it's like dead on.
Yeah.
And it freaks me out that is so accurate. And I also was, the funny thing is, now it's in the news that, you know, this app was created by in Russia.
The Russians.
It was created in 2017 by Wireless Lab in St. Petersburg, I think it's Petersburg, Russia. And now they're saying that they have access to, once you say yes
they
and download the app, they can get all your ish. Like, they can go to all your pictures, they can get in your personal information.
Yep.
So now, your picture may show up somewhere you don't want it to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even more scary to me as well.
Yeah.
Not only am I going to look 85 somewhere, it's gonna be all over the internet.
Yeah. Some tells me they already got that information. If they really want you, I mean, they watching us right now.
That's really interesting because that I've seen that like post a lot. People are like, "Why is it red ribbon? If they want your information, the government got it."
You got a smartphone,
you know. But at the same time, I am of the camp that it, which is why I didn't do it to begin with for security reasons. I'm not interested in giving it unnecessarily and on purpose.
Right.
It's different if somebody hacks you or gets into your stuff, but if you are purposely handing over your information, we've gotten way too comfortable. Like, even small things, like, because I'm shopping online and Facebook wants to, like, you know, be your sign-in for everything.
Right.
So, but then they want to, if you actually read what they take from your Facebook account, I'm like, you don't need all that information for me just for me to buy a skirt.
Yeah.
So, I think that we have gotten a little too comfortable with the whole idea that, oh, well, it's out there anyway, because it's not necessarily all out there, and it's not necessarily as much as you would think is out there without you giving it up freely, because we're giving it up a little too freely right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the more you give it up, then the more they have, but if they really want you,
they can find it.
Right. You out here doing dirt.
Right.
Which is true.
They gonna come get you.
They gonna come get you.
But I will say, from the Instagram perspective, I appreciate it. You're freaked out by seeing like old people. I think it's sort of like, it was sort of, it's not calming. It was sort of gratifying to just see people being okay seeing themselves that way. Because I wanted to see myself, but I just didn't want to check off okay on all those permissions, which is why I didn't do it.
I was about to do it until I looked at the TV, it's like, oh, okay, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, something didn't feel right to me about taking a picture. Yeah, just, that's why I don't like Snapchat either, but that was another whole conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was kind of cool that people are like comfortable posting, like, I'm not this perfect Instagram world that we all kind of live
maybe
in.
Maybe I'm just vain.
Cool. You're definitely vain.
I am vain. Okay, let's be honest. I'm a Leo, I'm vain. But I hear you, and I want to come to that place, but maybe that's what it is. I'm disturbed to see what I'm actually going to look like. And it I'm not always, not that I think I'm the most handsome man in the world, but I'm not bad looking, and it makes me feel like, wow, I'm going to lose all, I'm going to look like when I get older.
You just got to moisturize.
You know no moisture.
And you got to drink a gang of water.
I'm happy that I have my hair, though.
Stay on your water.
I was happy about the hair. I was happy about the hair.
Take some collagen, you know.
Hey. No, I don't know. It's going to take me a while to get. I didn't do this. My friends did it. They thought it was funny. They sent it to me last night, and I almost wrecked my car because I got it. I was at a stoplight. I looked. I was like, I know I ain't supposed to be driving a text. I didn't drive a text.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. But I looked at it, and I almost wrecked my car because I was like, oh, God.
Did you feel that way when you saw the people, though? Because, like, sometimes I saw couples, and I was like, oh, that's so cute to see, like, these people that are, like, 30 years old and in relationships, and see them, like, oh, this is what you would look like if you stick together.
None of it made me happy. It all disturbed me. In fact, I was like, well, it was really messed up with some people. I was like, oh, damn, they did the challenge?
Dario.
I was like, oh, wow, I can't tell I know, is that wrong?
Yeah.
I didn't say who it was. I'm just saying they need to moisturize now.
Who?
I'm not going to say who it was, but there's a couple people. I was like, oh, wow. There's not much difference.
In the
picture.
Right.
But it's all good. It just disturbed me. I think that's what it is. I must be vain, and I don't want to look at myself at 80 years old.
Yeah.
Because I'm going
to
lose it.
Look at it as a precursor of what not to do. If I don't take care of myself and do what I need to do, then this is how I look. Look at it. It's a warning. It's a red flag.
It's a big red flag.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so you got to stay on your water.
Stay on my water. I need to stop drinking.
A little bit, sweat.
I've been drinking.
I've been drinking.
That alcohol will get you.
And I love that alcohol will get you.
I hate it because I love my margaritas. And my wine.
I mean, anything in moderation.
And my vodka.
If you're doing it, you know.
Yeah, you're doing it heavy.
Too regularly, then sooner or later.
It's going to catch up to you.
It's slow dormant.
Oh, right. Man. You're right. It's eventually going to add those wrinkles.
Karma is a patient gangster.
Yeah, oh, I agree. I feel like you don't drink. You don't drink, do you, Keith?
Yeah, I drink a little bit. I drink on weekends on occasion. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
But he's like.
He's all fit and stuff.
Yeah, he's like. He's one of those. He's like, yeah, I drink.
I sip. I mean, I've definitely dialed it way back.
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
I try to dial it back. Yeah.
You guys get my
age. You try to dial it back?
Oh, I have dialed it back for sure.
Where?
I have, yeah. Okay. Because, first of all, I want my summer bod. So, once again, back to vainness. I want my summer bod. And you can't get the summer abs on the summer tequila and margaritas and champagne.
And the older you get, the harder it is.
It's hard.
Once you get my age.
Well, you ain't old, but
I'm like, what are you talking about?
I'm older than y'all. Trust me.
You ain't old, bro. So
I ain't old.
The thing is though, when you start doing the crunches and you like it ain't really getting the results, and you got to give up some things.
It's diet.
That was my whole week. I was like, man, why it's got to be 80-20? Like 80 food and 20% working out. Yep. I remember back in the day, I could eat whatever I wanted to, and as long as I could go for a walk, and I would be all right.
You lose it all just on the walk.
Snap back.
I'm like, dang it, if I have to eat this salad one more damn time, I just want some fried chicken and my wine. And
metabolism slow.
You know, it's not fair.
I mean, you know, once again, like he said, moderation. I mean, you can technically have 2 glasses of wine a day. And, well, here's the thing. You know, I find my way around things. I was told that if you really are working out, you shouldn't be drinking at all. But if you are going to drink vodka sodas.
Vodka soda.
But that gets boring.
Or tequila straight.
What's
cool, though, with vodka soda, what you can do is you just get a lot of limes in there.
Yeah. You could Jedi mind trick yourself to think it's a margarita.
Get it nice and... Let me see. Oh, you sent the video.
Delivered with the tequila. All right.
We'll watch it later.
All right.
Perfect. Well, all right. So FaceApp. So FaceApp. Be careful because they got your information. If you don't care about it, do the FaceApp. But you know they can. Your picture may show up somewhere you don't want it to. So
I'm saying. Name, just your picture, but your name,
your personal information,
anything else. Yeah.
Drink your water.
And moisturize.
Sunscreen. Some cocoa butter,
black stay folks. Away from that dark
white folks. People of color.
Sunscreen. Helps
sunscreen.
Everybody.
Sunscreen cures all.
You know what about sunscreen? I just kind of realized that I was always under pressure because I was black. I didn't really need sunscreen,
which is a
myth.
Especially in California.
I learned that.
Because we get a lot of sun.
A lot of sun.
And the sun these days ain't what it was 10 years ago.
It's intense.
I was working out in the morning. I thought I was going to die because it was burning the heck out of my ear. But that's another story. All right. We're going to move on.
Moving on.
To our political story of the day.
Yes.
Because, you know, we haven't been here for a while.
Right.
We haven't talked about the Orange Nightmare. Obviously, this week, the wild-ish continues with our nightmare in office. And he, some of you may or may not know, but he shot out a little tweet a few days ago.
Yep.
Basically, essentially telling the squad, as they are currently called, which are the four freshmen, congresswomen, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and the fourth lady's name I can't remember because I didn't put it down. But they were all together. He sent out a tweet directed towards them, basically telling them to go back where they came from. And so people were like, oh God, it's racist. Shock, it's racist. I don't know if y'all shocked. Were y'all shocked?
Not from him.
Yeah. I'm not shocked.
They weren't. Some people were shocked and decided that, you know, we should spend time in Congress to come up with a resolution condemning his tweets as racist. And then they got in a fight in the House about using the word racist, because apparently there's like a law that was passed that you cannot say the word racist, but it was like passed by slave owner racist.
But you can say racist things, but you can't say that I'm racist.
Pelosi actually called the tweets racist. And another representative who was a Republican was like, nah, you can't say that. So they had a fight about why she could or could not say it. I was trying to, this is our taxpayers' money at work. So then they fought about it. Eventually it did pass. They did condemn the tweets. And Representative Al Green, not to be cute.
Representative Al Green.
He's
calling for the impeachment. Yeah.
He came up for a resolution for impeachment, and he put it on the table after the resolution was passed to condemn the tweets. He was like, look, y'all, I mean, clearly he's racist. Like, here, let's do this. They voted on it, and of course, it was knocked down. Nobody was on that team. Nobody was in the team. The Orange Nightmare responded to the whole sent him back controversy. I don't know if you guys saw the video, but he did a rally
yesterday. Them back. Go. So what did he tell them? They were chanting something.
They were chanting, send them back.
Send them back.
At his rally last night. Yeah. So that was awesome. And his response to all of it with the reporters, they're like, yo, you're at this rally. These people are standing in the back. Like, he was like, well, you know, none of this concerns me because, quote, many people agree with me. So he clearly is not embarrassed or doesn't care one way or the other. And
he's never been embarrassed in his life.
At all.
Never a day in his life. So that's where
at least we got to give him that. He's consistent. You know what I mean? He's consistent.
His ambition is off the charts.
Absolutely.
His belief in himself is off the charts.
It's shocking.
Warped as it is, but
I think the more I was the nightmare, he's going to be what he's going to be.
Sure. Yeah.
It was uncomfortable to watch the footage of that rally.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what's shocking.
Painfully uncomfortable.
It was.
The people that, the base is like, wow, that they're amongst us. Like, you kind of, it feels like they're going to roll the credits any second, but it's like really happening. He just says something and it goes away. Yeah. Just like
it's not a thing.
I mean, here's the thing, too, is, you know, I've been having a conversation with a lot of people about him getting another term, and I don't think it's not out of the cards.
Oh, like, no, for sure.
I had an argument with some friends. They were like, no, it's not going to happen. I'm like, did you look
those
this week?
Those have to be the same people that were like, oh, he'll never win.
Right.
Because, like, they...
I think it favors him to be to do another term as opposed to not... I'll be, you know, unfortunately.
It's his race to lose, I think, at this point.
The other day, not to cut you off, but the two young ladies who accused him of... The dancer in Vegas.
Stormy
and the other, those cases, they dismissed them. They threw them out.
Yeah,
they just went away.
Well, like, I also think that they probably got some checks outside of the courtroom. That's what I think.
These guys.
I mean, but here's the thing. Like, even the fact that people are arguing is he racist. I'm like, come on. I mean, like that's an argument. We're still talking about this. We're still trying to debate that.
I'm still confused.
I'm confused by that we're debating it still.
Right.
Actually.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean. He's showing all his colors, and we still are talking about it. Right. I mean, he's still doing the craziest stuff in office. I mean, this is just, it's ridiculous. It's actually, I don't even honestly pay attention as much anymore because it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's also scary because now, okay, so we're coming up on 2020. Obviously, like we were just talking about, I mean, 2019 is about over, y'all.
Oh, and I just saw a social media thing that says in 6 months it will be 2020. I was like, damn, 6 months.
A whole
crazy
decade to be over.
Yes.
Right.
How is that a thing? We're 20 years past the turn of the century.
It's like, crazy.
How did that happen? But regardless, with voting and all of this coming up, I will say, if nobody was scared by seeing, number one, there was a panel on CNN, too, of 8 women, I believe, that they sort of talked to ask, like, how they feel about Trump and if they felt this was racist. And they were like, absolutely not. It's totally normal. He was just saying, go back to, like, what makes you happy and that if you hate this country so much. And it was just like, granted, I get it. There's got to be a group that obviously still loves him and he's going to do what he's going to do. But I'm just, like, amazed.
Yeah.
And then the rally with the children, it was like, I don't know if you guys have seen, watching older movies and stuff, the pictures of lynchings with children on people's shoulders, on parents' shoulders.
Yes.
There were children at that rally with their parents chanting, send them back.
Yep.
It's 2020! What are we doing?
Raising up a new nation of racists.
Racists, right. It's just... It's
start
really,
them young.
It's really scary.
Start them young.
I think what he's going to use as his little card is going to be involving... pot distribution and legalizing certain things in certain places. I think he's going to use that. I don't know. It's just something with him and pot
to like get
voters,
people that aren't
on his team.
Right,
I think he's going to use it in the long run. I don't know how, but I think he will. I think that's going to be his little playing card.
I wonder if we're ever going to get angry enough to really fight back.
I mean, if he goes in term again in office, I mean. Yeah, we might.
I think this comments he made are just a prelude to how more intense and divisive those comments are going to be approaching the campaign. By the time we get to the campaign, it's going to be full face race riot, whatever, you know, just straight. I mean, I'm afraid that
it could turn
because everybody's so desensitized. Because now he said so much crazy stuff now that. When he says it, we're desensitized, kind of like watching violence on TV. We're used to seeing somebody get their head blown off.
Right.
And so we're used to it now. And even the people who oppose him are used to it now.
Yeah,
so it's
true.
Kind of like he's just massaging the waves just to continually push the envelope until it's just like, this is who we are. It's what we do.
I mean, I really was in hopes that I was like, he doesn't really believe all this stuff that he's saying. He's just doing this for the effect. But now I'm just like, no, he really gives no F's about it. He is dividing this country and enjoying it.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's saying because it's working.
It's
working for him.
And people are, we're seeing who people are. We see you.
Yeah, mask is
we
off.
We see you. You don't wear a mask. We see you. You know.
Mask off.
All right.
Future.
All right.
We'll see what's gonna happen.
What's next, guys?
What's next?
I don't know.
But we're gonna talk about something more interesting than President Orange Face. we're gonna talk about Keith Robinson right now.
Boom.
Yeah.
Because
boom,
my man,
bringing the light
like
is working. Mm-hmm. Right? Can we get that sound effect again?
One more time.
I like that. Bringing that sound effect. Bam, Keith Robinson. Every time you hear your name, you're going to hear that sound effect.
I love
you know
that.
What I'm saying?
I love that.
You are killing it right now, man. You got, you know, Saints and Sinners. You know, you guys premiered July 7th on Bounce.
Yeah.
All-star cast, Vanessa Bell Calloway. That's my boo. That's my girl.
She's awesome.
Clifton Powell, J.D. Williams.
She's awesome.
Tammy.
No,
Roman. Is it Roman?
Tammy Roman. Roman. Yeah, Tammy Roman. She's new this year. To the show, she's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, it just the list goes on and on. And
it's a good cast.
You guys finished number one, 1.3 million views. I mean,
yeah,
your character is crushing it on the show. What if people haven't tuned in?
Yeah.
Tell us about like what this season's bringing and your character and all that stuff.
Well, my character's name is Miles Calloway. He's a musician, which is great because I get to kind of play both sides of the fence in that respect. But he's married and he has a side thing. So okay. He's kind of one foot in, one foot out, and that's kind of been his turmoil. Even in his personal, in his business life, where he's kind of bouncing from the gospel charts to the R&B charts. But he's in love with two women, basically,
Okay. And
he can't get out of his own way. In the first three seasons, it ended up a baby was had and stolen, and my wife was submitted to the insane asylum.
Okay,
yeah. I was eventually there. And this is the fourth season where we're kind of picking up the pieces, the aftermath of this debacle of these having two relationships right. from myself and both of them. My wife is a woman's officially fed up and she's moved on. I don't know how to deal with that. Christy's kind of moved on in her life. But she's in jail because of what she did when she took the baby last season. So it's high drama and it's just kind of people identify with the character, I think, because they see themselves. In a lot of ways, maybe not to that magnitude, but just his indecision and he kind of lives by the seat of his pants on his whim. He lives by his feelings. So if it feels good, he does it. And he thinks about the consequences afterwards.
Yes, he does.
So did R. Kelly motivate you in this character? You know, trying to.
I wouldn't say R. Kelly.
R. Kelly.
I had to throw in something R. Kelly because I wanted to throw in R. Kelly.
But I think Miles may understand R. Kelly.
He may understand R. Kelly
in some way, but I don't think he's not like that. He's not sick in that way.
No.
He's just selfish. He wants his cake and he wants to eat it too. He's the epitome of that.
Yeah.
But I think he does have this side of him that is very remorseful, but he's just like an addict. He's like, I'm an alcoholic and you put me in a liquor store, I'm gonna buy some liquor.
Right. Right.
And that's kind of who Miles is, and we're just watching him unravel as he tries to.
So the rest of the season is going to bring some excitement.
Yeah, because this season, Miles is, you see a different side of him this season. He's a more aggressive.
Okay.
The song that you played at the beginning, Happy, is a song that I wrote. It's called Miles Confession, where he's kind of dumping all his feelings out that he has for his wife who has now moved on. He's wondering, because happy is kind of like an oxymoron. He's asking her, Are you happy? Are you really happy with this other person? Do you ever sometimes still think of me? Do you ever think we could be happy again? So he's kind of pleading with her, asking her.
So you're performing it on the show?
I'm performing it on the show. Okay. Yeah, next Sunday, the 28th, the single debuts on the show.
Okay.
And it's the first single off of the album, Love Episodic 2, which will be out. Late summer, early
look
fall.
At you, man.
So I'm just hustling.
I'm trying to be like Keith. I mean, acting, albums, writer, producer.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm trying.
Doing it all, man.
You got to, right?
You have to. You got to
be multifaceted.
And this is our time. This is our time.
Yeah.
Capitalize.
Yeah, you can't just do one thing. You got to be like the old artist back in the day with Sammy Davis. They told a joke and
you're right.
Did a movie and sang a song. And,
yeah.
You know. So I mean, I'm having a good time with being able to kind of spread myself around the board.
How would you describe this album?
I would describe it as it's an extension of Love Episodic 2, of Love Episodic 1, but I would describe it as universal soul, I think, as far as when it comes, universal love, I would call that, because it's not just dealing with love between man and a woman, it's dealing with self-love, it's dealing with contributing your love and your purpose to the world, because I think so much has happened between the last album and this album, it's just in our world, it's really affected my writing, so it kind of covers the whole gamut of love and different types of love and just being the best person that you can be in a lot of different ways. So there's stuff I'll talk about, social media and there's a stalker that in my own personal life is on social media with my own relationship that I wrote a song called World Against You and I, which is kind of things that are kind of we have new demons, our new obstacles that we kind of address now with social media.
True.
Because it's an open platform, so it affects relationships.
That's
so
very true.
I wrote songs towards that, how it affects men and women or just people in love with social media.
Yeah.
And it's affected me personally, so I wrote about that. And, you know, there's a lot of... It kind of takes you on a journey.
It sounds deep.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah.
And it's personal. I like it, too, because it's personal.
Yeah, you know I'm always in the deep end. Now, I stay
in the... Hey, I ain't mad at that, brother.
They have to throw me around. Exactly. Come on back 3 feet, Keith. We just want to dance.
Hey. That's what music is about.
We just want to dance. No doubt.
So is there a special boo thing in the life right now?
Yeah, for
okay.
sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there is.
He was like, I'm just going to keep it there.
Yeah.
Unlike his character, it is a special boo thing.
Yeah, it's an A special. That's where me and Miles... That's where you and are different. Are separate. But yeah.
Now, I always like to know about the writing process. I mean, you know, when you're doing this, when you're creating this album, are you driving and just the song, like things hit you and you write them down? Yeah. Like, how what's your process of creating?
It's a lot of different things. I think I'm always subconsciously influenced by life, just day to day, my day to day walk, wherever I'm at, or hear conversations or issues that pertain to me that are kind of issues that pertain to all of us. They kind of influence me in different ways, and I might be in the studio and hear a beat, and that thought that I had or that title might come to it, might meet it, or I might have, like, Happy, for example. The melody of that song I had for 6 years.
Wow!
And I was just in the back of the house with a guitar player of mine, Pretty Tony, who co-produced it, when we were just vibing, and I just was in a studio a few months ago, and I remembered that melody, and I pulled it up, and then while I'm shooting the show, they were asking me for a song, so it kind of married it at the same time. So sometimes thoughts are kind of put on ice, and then they're kind of just the right opportunity presents itself for me to do the whole song. But I would say overall, it's just influence, just my day to day, you know, people you run into and things you want to happen, things that have happened. So,
do you play as well?
I play keys a little bit.
Okay.
I'm a lyric and song and melody guy.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't charge you to hear me play.
Can I get the friend discount?
You know? I mean, I tap out melodies, but I'm a writer. I'm a writer and singer, so that's my forte.
Okay.
Yeah.
How does your, like, artistry wise, just as an actor versus musician, how do those sort of tensions sort of work themselves out? Like, do you feel like you're... I'm trying to get to a question, specific, but, because it's interesting when people have artistry in sort of two different lanes, but not quite, like, how do those... Right. And then you get to marry it. And
they're similar but different. You know what I mean?
I think every scene has a rhythm to it, and every song has a element of drama. So I kind of marry them that way. And a lot of times, if I'm filming something... the emotions of the character can sometimes, if I go to the studio that night, it kind of affects what I'm doing at the same time. So I kind of use both of them as a event. And then when I'm shooting a video or if I'm writing a song, I see it before I write
it. You see,
So they kind of are, they're like cousins. It's kind of like I liken it to being two different vehicles, SUV or sports car, but we're headed in the same direction.
Yeah.
So I need both because, you know, I like both. I mean, I started off doing music. That's what moved me to L.A. And the acting thing was kind of... was a divine accident, I call it. But basically, I just went to an acting class to kind of help with my stage presence
because
I wanted to bring the drama to the stage.
Interesting.
And it opened up another lane for me.
You know?
Because then I think the only opposite is that on stage, you want to project. You want to reach out to the audience. You want to dramatize what the song is. When you're on camera, you want it to feel like people just happen to have a camera and stick it in your life and just watch you live seamlessly, so where you don't push. So the stage you push and the camera you don't. So it's just kind of yin and yang.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Did you have any difficulties in dealing with that when you were started? If you started out trying to get it because of the want for the stage presence,
I don't know if it was
different.
Me just feeling the rhythm of being an actor when I first started off, which was Power Rangers years ago. It was just not to push, that the camera picks up everything, that, you know, the things that you think you're trying to imply, you don't have to imply. If you just live, the camera will pick it up, picks up everything. So
getting deep, brother. Yeah.
The more you do it, the smaller you can become. That's why stillness on camera is so powerful. Like the greats like Denzel Washington,
right.
They can just be still.
Yeah. They don't have to say
and
anything.
Not move,
it's all
and it's just
there.
Yeah. So much coming off of their bodies, you know, as opposed to flailing their arms and, you know, being over-demonstrative, and it kind of falls flat.
Yeah. And then I know you're working on a bunch of other things outside of music and the show. What else can people, your fans, kind of check you out on?
Well, I just did a movie right after we wrapped Saints and Sinners, which was cool. It's called Open, which is about open marriage. that I did with Essence Atkins.
She's coming in the studio next week.
So, oh, great! Yeah, that's my girl. So we've been. This was our first time we worked together in like 15 years because I was on Half and Half, her show, as a boyfriend. So this was a serious movie that was really about. Open marriage, which seems to be a trend now. There's a lot more couples
listen,
out.
We've had several guests.
Somebody in the studio talking about that.
Spinoffs and that's a lot going on.
I did a lot of research on it, and it's a pretty popular thing, which I still cannot wrap my head around the concept, me personally, because that's mine. And
I'm too jealous.
Yeah, yeah. Me just knowing that someone else was pleasuring my woman.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm not mature enough to do.
I don't think I am.
I'm not grown.
I think I like to think that I am, but I'm not.
But it's a great movie though. And what happens is these two people, they get in this open marriage, and things go left, to say the least. So we just finished that up. I think week before last. So I'm excited about that. And I did a movie called Love the Greener Grass Experiment, which is my first movie that I wrote and directed and starred in. And I can't wait for people to see that one. We shot it last year. I'm editing right now, and.
How was that experience? Filmmaker.
Yeah, that was it was great. It was awesome, and I would love to do it again. I learned so much from the process, and it's just so many moving parts and things to think about, as opposed to just showing up as an actor and going to wardrobe, makeup, and hitting the set. This is like thinking about the whole entire. I knew a lot more than I thought.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot that I did learn. And I think the key is you need budget.
Money is important.
Money is always
some coins.
But there's never enough coins.
No,
never. Mm-hmm. But the concept is dope. I'm excited about it. It's the FDA is offering Lords of London insurance to couples, as opposed to getting prenups or imminent divorce to A type personalities, celebrities, people, politicians, people with a lot of assets. It's a scientific experiment they're doing, so it seems.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes left. It's kind of like a Black Mirror situation.
I like that.
Yeah.
And I'm all about that Black Mirror.
So it's kind of romantic sci-fi.
Okay.
Is what I call it. So it's my first one. So I hope we'll see.
Well, if you need some co-stars,
we got a little
acting experience.
Maybe
we ain't like you, but you know,
some experience. Yeah. The next round.
Maybe for the sequel, I'll hit y'all up.
Now. I've seen also a new trend of a lot of actors have become directors. They're not just on, going in front of or behind the camera. Mm-hmm. Is that something of interest for you down the line as well? Like,
yeah, I mean, this movie here I co-directed. So I definitely want to get behind the camera because I think my eye is pretty well trained after doing it for 20 years and just kind of I find myself seeing what the director sees, and I want to expand, and I definitely want to get full fledged into it. It's quite an undertaking because as you go, so does the show goes.
The show goes,
But it's fun. It's cool though. I dig it.
Well, man, we loving what you're doing, man. You're doing big things, and I'm excited about hearing the new music. I mean, I heard Happy. Yeah. It already makes me happy.
Yeah.
So where can fans find you on social media and your platforms and stalk you like, you know, a couple
everything
people probably
is,
do?
Everything is Key Sings.
Key Sings.
One word.
Keep
that's
simple.
My Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and, just hit me up there, holla, and I'll holla back.
Holla.
You know what I'm talking about?
Courtney, where can fans find you?
I'm all over those social medias at Stuart Starlet.
You keep it simple too. I keep it.
Well, it's as simple as it because my name is so basic. Everybody got it.
Now, what is
Stewart? Courtney Stewart.
Courtney Stewart.
There's like 800 of them, so I had to. Everyone's like, "Where's your my handle?" Is because of a real old AOL Instant Messenger life.
Right. I like that. You can find me at Daryl Kristen on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, just my name. And you can find me on the weekends on Saturday on CBS for This Is LA. I'm one of the hosts. You know what? Can we go out to Keith's Happy though?
I
love the VHL music, but I want to shout out my boy right
let
now.
Let's do it.
You know what I'm saying? Do a little Happy.
Gotta pull it up.
And when the other project's coming out, let us know. I'm back in the studio.
Thank y'all for Happy. For y'all always look out, man. I appreciate it.
Y'all go get this album right here.
Pour it up.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture.
Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.